now as we come to your word. Lord, we thank you for the Psalms. Lord, we thank you that your word is powerful, it's real, it's rich. It deals with where we're at right now, today, in our hearts and our minds, in our lives, in our relationships with others, in the challenges of life. Lord, you know that life is difficult and there are incredibly challenging struggles that come along, Lord. And so, Father, we just thank you that your word is honest and real and allows us to come into that journey with you and be helped through the process by your presence and your love and your understanding and our hope that we have in you. So, Father, we also pray for our kids downstairs. We thank you, Lord, for all those who are serving, Lord, in so many different areas in the church. And right now, Lord, we would just like to lift up those who are teaching our kids, Lord. Just bless them, encourage them. Lord, I pray that our children's and our teens' minds would be open to the gospel, open to your truth. And Lord, that would be the same for us here. So, Father, speak to us. Your children are listening and ready to respond. Bless this time. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, guys, we're continuing on in our Songs of Praise series as we go through some of the Psalms. And 150 Psalms, and they're songs to God. They were written to be sung and to praise and worship God with. And that's why they're so real, so alive, so intimate, and so personal. And today we're going to be looking at Psalm 52. And I titled the message today, The Company You Keep, because so much of the blessings that we experience, it's one of the things we tell our kids when they're young and as they're growing up, we pray for, man, I tell you, I can't tell you how many prayers Julie and I have put up that our sons and our daughters would find Christian friends that they could be an encouragement to and that could encourage them. And it's amazing when you have even just one friend, isn't it? That's blessing you and encouraging you. It makes all the difference if you have even just one, so you don't feel alone in that. And we know how important that is with our kids. But guys, it's important with us as adults too. We need to have people in our lives. It's important that we have friends outside the church. It's extremely, guys, if you only have friends inside the church, you need to expand your territory. You need to take the tent pegs and move them out and hear from God and be in relationship and be intentional about sharing the gospel and loving people. But we also need friends that are very real. A good friend is the one that you can be. You know those friends that you can just be totally weird with, totally silly, have a great time and laugh, and then also that you can pray with, that you can share what's really going on in your life with, that you can be real and share the good and the bad. We need those real friends. We need those people around us. And we also have to be careful because there's a lot of people that are going around and influencing others in negative ways. And this is a psalm that is a reaction that David writes, that's a reaction to what's going on in his life. And we read about what's happening in David's life in 1 Samuel chapters 21 and 22. And the psalm begins with a superscription. It's that little writing under who wrote the psalms, telling us the background of the psalms and how it revolves around Doeg the Edomite. It says, to the choir master, a maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. So this psalm is written in a response to what's happening in these two chapters in 1 Samuel. And it's there's a lot going on. Doeg was one of Saul's chief shepherds. But he wasn't satisfied with his station in life. And one of the things that we see often when people are not satisfied with where they're at, they're willing to step on others to move themselves up. Some people have this amazing ability to rise up and bless others as they're rising up. I've seen that time and time again. When people are good bosses and they help others as God is blessing them, and it's like all the people around them are rising up and they're sharing the glory of God, the blessings of God. But then there's others who their only way they know how to move up is by stepping on others, and that's Doeg. Saul is chasing after David. He's trying to kill him. And it's one of those times in 1 Samuel, every time we see Saul, what does he have in his hand? A spear. Everywhere he goes. And so David's been dodging spears. He's getting really good at, you know, singing for the king and la, 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 la. And then ducking so that he doesn't get hit by a spear. He sings to soothe and calm the king down. And not long after that, the king will, for some reason, and there's multiple times where it's recorded that the king is, King Saul is throwing spears at David. And so David has realized how much trouble he's in, and he's on the run, and Saul is chasing him, trying to kill him, and Doeg finds him because David goes to Nob and he finds and he has a chat with Ahimelech. And he's given the sword of Goliath, the very sword that when he killed Goliath, he took Goliath's sword as a young boy and he cut off the head of Goliath. Well, that sword has been with this priest. And so Doeg tells Saul that David has gotten to Ahimelech, the priest at Nob, and he's received not only provisions, but Ahimelech gave him the sword. And so Doeg took, and Doeg was there, and he was just in the presence. And David sees him, and later David writes, after some bad things were done, he says, you know, I saw he was there in the background, and I should have known that he was a bad man, and he was going to do bad things to try and raise his status. But Doeg told Saul all about Ahimelech as an attempt to gain favor with Saul, to help his standing. And Saul charges Ahimelech with conspiracy, and he orders, he brings him and 85 of the priests there, and he charges him, and he orders the guards to kill Ahimelech. And you know what the guards say? No, we're not going to raise a hand against the Lord's anointed. The guards refuse the king. The guards refused, and they knew that it was sinful to do that, to raise their hand against the Lord's anointed. And so Saul, what does he do? He turns, and he sees Doeg there. And he orders Doeg to kill Ahimelech and his family and all the priests there. And 85, Doeg, the Edomite, turned and struck them down, and he killed 85 men who were wearing the linen ephod. 85 priests that day. Not only that, then they go back to Nob and they kill all of the women and the children and the animals. It's this slaughter. So, what's the heart of this man Doeg? He's more than a jerk. He's dangerous. He's evil. And he's done evil in the eyes of the Lord. And he's, man. So how do you, it's one thing to deal with a person that's just kind of struggling. But there are some times where we have to deal with people who have, in a sense, been given over. And they are truly trying to do evil. How do we deal with that? How do we respond to that? It's a horrific scene which compels David to write Psalm 52. So here we go, Psalm 52. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? Can you hear the almost the sarcasm in the O mighty man? Why do you boast of evil? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction. Like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. Selah. You love all the words that devour, O deceitful tongue. Wow. So guys, what's this? This gives us insight into a few different things. One of the things is it gives us insight into the traits, the characteristics of a wicked person, of somebody that we need to be careful of. Because some people, I tell you, sometimes we need to be ready to stand. And our struggle is against who? Satan, the enemies of God, the spiritual forces. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil. And those spiritual forces of evil impact certain individuals, don't they? And so even as we're coming against this person who is evil, our struggle is not with that person. Because while we were still yet sinners, God died for us. He loved us. We didn't deserve to be loved, and he loved. But to be loving doesn't mean to be a doormat. Okay? To be loving doesn't say, I'm just going to allow myself to be abused. We're called to bring in wisdom in the midst of love, truth and love. And so how do we protect us and others against the evil in others? Well, the first thing I see here is, why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. As bad as the actions were of Doeg, how much worse was it that he was proud? We see in the story that he takes pleasure in what he's done. If you read through those chapters, it's amazing to see that he's, because he knows, I'm moving up with the king. I'm getting in good graces with the number one guy in the land. And he's taking pleasure in doing evil. And guys, this is perverse. I know we're not supposed to say things like that in today's world. Today's world says there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no absolute truth. It's wrong to say something's right or wrong because that might make somebody feel bad. And I use Ravi Zacharias' words every time I have somebody tell me there's no absolute truth. I say, do you believe that absolutely? Because in the statement, there is no absolute truth, is an absolute truth. So it kind of defeats that argument in the argument itself. I love that kind of stuff, sorry. But man, here he is, and he's taking pleasure in it. This is the nature and characteristic of the wicked. They're proud of their actions. They feel good. There's not, you know, as a Christian, when we sin, what happens? We feel like dirt. Our conscience raises up within us. Guys, how do you know that you're saved? When you do evil? Another encouragement of bringing assurance of our salvation is that when we do evil, we feel bad because we've got the Spirit of God in us in faith. And when we do evil, it's just like, here we are. And I know that I've done wrong and my heart hurts and I feel guilt and shame. Praise God, I feel guilt and shame when I sin, when we sin. Because that means the Spirit of God is at work within us. And what do we know? Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Praise God for that. The evil, people who are under the influence of the evil, they don't see what they've done is evil. They see it as a necessary step. Their consciences are not moved when they act in a way that is dishonoring to God. Their conscience is completely seared. The Hebrew word is not necessarily that the wicked ones go about claiming what they've done. They're not proud in the sense of, look what I did. But it's a word that means, you know what? In my heart and mind, I feel very superior to you. Because I know that what I did has reason. The reason is helping me. But I look at others as fools before me because I can manipulate them to my benefit. And so it's this, not this outward boasting, that's not the word that's used. It's this inward pride of this sense of superiority. They're smug. They're convinced of their own superiority. They feel good about making others feel bad. Guys, sometimes we forget about this side of boasting, don't we? Even for ourselves. You ever been really good at being proud about being humble? That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? Really good about being proud about being humble. Oh, man. Did you hear me back there? I sounded so humble. That was fantastic. Man, we can believe our name. We've learned how to speak Christianese not only in word, but in meaning. And so we can sound the way we think Christians should sound when our hearts aren't affected. And we need to be so careful with this because arrogance, it's ugly. And we've all got it in ourselves. We've all got the old sin, right? And sometimes that old man or that old woman comes racing back in times, especially, I don't know about you, for me, it happens when I'm dealing with certain people. There's about 95, 96, 97% of people that I love spending time with. I'm a people person. I love being with people. It energizes me. There are a few people, and we're all like this, aren't we? There are a few people that, man, they come in our presence and I'm like this negative, it's like this dark cloud has come over my head and everything, the sun is no longer out emotionally, relationally in my sphere. We need to be so careful because sometimes certain people or certain situations brings out the ugliness in us. Right? Right? I appreciate the honesty. Right? There's times, like I said, people and situations. How you guys doing with your computers? There's something about typing and being behind, and you've got anonymity, and so there's something about when people are on a Facebook and other things where people will get a little mean. Have you seen that? And people, it's kind of like the internet road rage kind of thing. It's the internet road of rage. And man, it's just sometimes you'll just see really good people. Sometimes it's us that we want to get our point across and we're offended. And you know what? I can say this without being caught. And evil words go out. Right now, we're living at a time where depression and suicide is running rampant. Guys, with what we're experiencing, our young people are getting bombarded with junk and lies. And also, people are living these virtual lives. These virtual lives that they're presenting their lives as this wonderful thing online, but it's not real. And so everybody else is saying, they have all these wonderful lives. And so there's all this danger, and we need to be so careful there. They have a dangerous tongue. Verse 2, your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. The wicked have a tongue like a razor blade. What a picture, right? What a picture. They're saying cutting and hurtful words. Hurt people. And they're using their language to bring pain to others. We need to be so careful about what we say And more importantly, or as importantly, how we say it. Because our words need to be what? Words that build up. Bring in truth in a way that builds up. We don't sugarcoat everything, but we speak the truth in love. Seasoned with grace. And there's times where it's hard to season truth with grace. Guys, there are times where we need to say it like it is. But we do it in relationship. There's times where we need to say it just point blank. But it's not, have you ever had somebody say a hard truth to you, but because of their heart for you, the reason they were sharing it is because they loved you. And so, yes, it was point blank, but it was also done in love. And that's what brings those more challenging times blessing. If I'm doing it out of spite or hate or anger, it's not going to bless. But if I'm saying the truth just point blank in love, God's going to take that and use it for his glory. And it'll bless others. Speaking about the tongue, James said in James 3, 9 and 10, I don't have this on the overhead, but with it we bless, with the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things should not be this way. It shouldn't be this way. We shouldn't use our mouth, our tongue, to bless and curse. When we do that, what are we really doing? I know for me, I'm playing God because I'm the one controlling my tongue. So I'm going to bless you, but not you. So I'm the one who's using, rather than speaking truth in love, I'm the one playing God. We need to be careful because this also shows the hypocrisy in our lives. And all of us have hypocrisy, don't we? When people say Christians are hypocrites, my response is always, you're so right. You're so right. We as Christians are unbelievable hypocrites. I, as a pastor, am a hypocrite because I speak of God's truth and love, and sometimes I choose to sin. I'm a hypocrite. Praise God, we're not following me. I'm saying we want to follow the one I'm pointing at, not the one who's pointing. And so, yes, I am a hypocrite. And you know what? That shows our need for God all the more. Now, yes, I want to grow and be transformed and be more like Christ. But the reality is, I'm not God. But I know who is, and I can be the ambassador and point others to him. The last thing that I see in this first four verses is the evil. They enjoy evil. They enjoy doing evil. It brings pleasure. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right, Selah. You love all the words that devour, O deceitful tongue. The wicked person takes joy in evil and loves hurting and harmful words. They love it because it brings them more authority, puts others down so that I can speak down to you rather than speak with you. And this reaches the darkness of the heart. To intend harm to another and enjoy the process is seriously evil. And we need to be careful. Because love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Love blesses others. Guys, that's what's supposed to define us. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Man, that's what a difference somebody who's loving and somebody who's wicked. Man. Let's continue on. Verses 5 through 7. But God will bring you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. Guys, what's this saying? God's going to bring an end to the wicked. Because God is just. God is just. And in verse 5, David describes the everlasting ruin that comes upon those who love evil. He's talking about you know who, right? He's talking about Doeg, the Edomite. And Doeg took such pleasure in doing what was wrong. First, David says, surely God will bring down to everlasting ruin. Guys, we don't have to get even with others. We're not called to be the judge, juror, and executioner. That's not our role. That's not our place. We're called to be ambassadors of Christ, to share the gospel in love. And sometimes we're going to take hits for it. And we need to be willing to suffer, to bless others. But David also says that the wicked will be snatched up and torn from your tent. Guys, what this says to me is there is no place that the wicked can hide from God. We don't need to worry about bringing justice to those. We don't have to take on that role. Because the wicked cannot hide from, there's no place where the wicked can hide from God. There is no shelter that they can find. And God is eternal. And when we go to be with him for eternity, and there is judgment for those who are evil and work against God. God will uproot the wicked from the land of the living also. He's going to take them and their end is destruction. You know what? For those who are evil, we need to not desire destruction for them. There needs to be something in our heart that desires blessing for the evil person because our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And so our heart needs to be not, I'm going to get them back. Our heart needs to be, I need to pray for this person. And what happens, guys? This is the reality. What happens if rather than trying to find out a way to make them pay, don't you love the movies when the bad guy not just gets it, but he really gets it in the end? And with all this computers that they use in movies now how the bad guy gets it in, it's getting more and more impressive. And it's just new ways for the bad guy to really, we love that. We love it too because it's often the hero, it's at the hand of the hero. Well, guess what? We're not the hero of the story. Guys, hear this. We're not the hero of the story of our lives. Christ is our hero. He's the hero. And he's the one who brings judgment. And our hearts need to hurt for people who are hurting others. And when we pray, now it's the power of God coming in. And God hears and answers prayer. Have you ever had your worst enemy become a friend in Christ? I have. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. I got instructions from my mom. Pray for him. Mom, I hate him. Pray for him. Mom, I don't think you heard me. I hate him. Pray for him. And he became one of my three best friends as he came to the Lord. God moves the heart. He changes the heart of the wicked. And he can bring blessing into their lives. And we want to help encourage that. David is not just gloating over the end result of the wicked in the world. His heart hurts for them. And so what's the lessons for the righteous in these verses? First, the righteous will see and fear. We need to watch what happens to the lives of those who practice evil and say, you know what? Just the evil person dies too. You know what Sinatra said? I did it my way. Well, he's got to answer the Lord for that, doesn't he? I don't know where he stood with God, but all of us have to come to the Lord and answer. Did we do it our way? Did we do it God's way or my way? Man, the righteous will see, and we need to see what's happening around us and see with eyes of eternity and have hearts that respond. The righteous also need to see the foolishness of the wicked. We need to not see it and say, I want it. You know what's the reality about sin that we don't talk about much in the church? Sin can be really fun. Honestly, right? I mean, I know I'm not supposed to say that as a pastor. Sin can be really fun. It can be so much fun. And it's the kind of fun that the next morning you look at and you're like, ah! And then it's hard looking at your face and, yeah, you had a great time, but then you got to look at the man or woman in the mirror the next day. It's a fleeting, empty fun. It's something that you have to do more of and more of to experience less and less pleasure. Man, it's this cycle that just sucks us in, chews us up, and spits us out. Yes, it's fun, but it will destroy us. And when we see sin for what it is, that temptation, and the enemy is just like, wait till I get them hooked. Watch me just reel them in. You know what? Addiction is God, the response to God by the evil one. It's his plan to bring in destruction, because we can be addicted to so many different things. It's not just drugs and alcohol, guys. Gambling, lying. I mean, the list goes on and on. We want it more. The list goes on. But as believers, what's our lesson of righteousness? It's to say, man, I see what's behind the curtain. Yeah, it looks bright and shiny out here, but you get by, it sucks me in, and pretty soon that beautiful shiny thing is this gross, detestable, disgusting thing that I'm completely addicted to and need. And I can't function without it, and I'm bound to it. I'm no longer free. I am bound. I'm in prison emotionally, physically, relationally, spiritually, in prison to sin. It was a foothold, it's now become a stronghold. Now the enemy is just toying with me and playing with me and mocking. I own this guy here. This area of his life, I own it. You want to see him go down? Boom. Look how easy it is, this one thing. Guys, we need to not desire what seems fun and good on the outside, what feels good. We need to be careful. We need to have longer vision, a greater understanding, the eyes of Christ. Let's continue on. The last two verses. But I am like a green olive tree, that's a flourishing. Some versions say, I am a flourishing and fruitful olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. Guys, the heart of the righteous person, they're strong and fruitful. It's green. It's fruitful. It's producing fruit. The heart of the righteous person is somebody who is near what? Near the river of life. Near the word of God. Near the truth. Near the presence of Christ in faith. And because we're taking the nutrients of faith, we're producing fruit that blesses others. And it's exciting. And David here declares, but I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. These words here are from Psalms 1 and from Psalms 23. The Psalms 1 is a tree planted by the waters. And Psalms 23 is, I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it's using this vision and these pictures of wow, here I am, and I'm by the waters of life. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord for all time. It's unending. David pictures the righteous standing tall and strong with God. They stand strong with the Lord. As we don't have to fear evil. Guys, think about that. You are free in Christ Jesus. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, that means sin can't own you anymore. It can deceive you, but it doesn't own you. When the enemy loses us to faith, the only thing he can do is to get us to live the lie as though we were not in faith. So I want to live in truth. I want to be who I am. The righteous, here it is, are growing. We're changing. There's salvation and sanctification. We're growing in our walks with Christ. We have more areas of our lives that we're submitting to Christ. We're growing. Guys, faith is a journey. It's not a destination. We are on a path of faith, and we're all on different points, aren't we? So we need to have a lot of grace and love for each other, because there's some new Christians here, and you may have been a believer for a lot of years, but because there's a lot of baggage and hurt and brokenness, the growth hasn't taken place. Or you maybe just became a Christian 2 months ago, a few months ago. Don't go to the solid foods when you're a babe in Christ. We need to not put people in leadership who are new to faith, because it's setting them up to fail. We need to prepare people and have people grow. All of us need that. It's a journey that we're on. God's love is steadfast. I love that. It's unfailing. And that gives us reason to trust. That's our trust in God comes from that. Because his love is steadfast and unfailing, you know what? When I'm in the midst of the battle, when I've got the Doeg in my life who's coming after me, when I've got those that have hurt the people around me, and I'm under attack for any reason, I can be at peace and have hope in the steadfast, unfailing love of God. When things around me are going in ways that I don't understand, when our children are suffering and hurting, where do we go to the God that we know and trust? And here's the reality is sometimes God answers the exact opposite way of what we hope for and pray. And that's when it's hardest to trust in God. When you've been praying and praying and praying for healing and a loved one passes, is God bad now? Is he still good? I believe so. I believe sometimes we don't see the goodness of God because we're so broken in our spirit, because of the pain we're going through, because of the hurt and loss. But that doesn't change who God is. And the beautiful thing, God doesn't bring destruction. He doesn't take pleasure in bringing bad things. Good things come from God. And so, when God works and he redeems the junk and the broken stuff in our lives, it's amazing. He can take the evil that was done to us and the evil that we do, and he redeems it, and now it can be used for blessing. I don't get it. I don't fully, but I've experienced it. And it's transforming, guys. It's transforming. The characteristics of a righteous person is always ends in what? In praising God. It ends in coming back to that truth of God is faithful. I might not see his hand here, but he's been faithful in the past. And when I was here before, when I was broken and confused in the past, I saw how God brought me through it and I saw his hand. So you know what? Right now, I'm going to trust him again. I'm going to have that hindsight right now because I know that here, you follow my life. He's been faithful. Even when there was no way out, he was faithful. And so right now, I don't see a possible way through this. He will be faithful again. And sometimes it's he's faithful in death, and I get to go be with him in glory. But he is always faithful, and not even death can separate us from the love of Christ, because he is faithful. Praise God for that. Guys, we have a good God who is holy and just. And even those times where we want to ask him, where were you, God? I don't understand. Remember the blessings in those troubled times. Remember where he was faithful. Because something that faith in Christ offers us is a beautiful word. It's a four-letter word that's beautiful. Hope. You want to see dead eyes? Find somebody who has no hope. The soul is dead. Hope gives life. And our hope is not in what we do. Our hope is in Christ Jesus and what he's already done for us. He's already conquered sin and death. He died on the cross. He conquered it. He rose from the grave. He ascended to heaven, and he's preparing a place for us to be with him. That's our hope. It's a beautiful hope, and nothing can take it away. And when we have that hope, no matter how low we are in the pit of life, we know what's ahead for us. And it changes everything. Guys, this is the picture of the righteous person. Is because of that hope, what does the righteous person do? They're a tree that bears fruit. We share our faith. I want to encourage you, if you haven't shared your faith yet, or if you've only done it a few times, pray this week. God, I've seen your abundance. I've seen your provision over and over in my life. Lord, I pray for opportunities this week to share my faith. Lord, give me eyes to see so that when somebody's asking, you don't have to hit people over the head with the gospel. Please don't. You don't have to Bible beat people, but you can love people right where they're at in the love of Christ. And sometimes it's going to start with prayer. Hopefully, most of the time, it'll start with prayer. You'll be praying for the person, and other times you'll have an opportunity to say something. Just pray, God, should I say something? Maybe just a little bit. Maybe just a word of encouragement. Maybe just, God, give me the right words to share, and then step out and see what comes out. Allow the Lord to speak through you. We need to tell others about God's goodness. Because when we're filled with the Spirit of God, it's oozing out. We can't help it. It bubbles. It's a spring of life. It comes gushing forth. And there's pleasure. Guys, we need to take pleasure not in evil, but we need to take pleasure in bringing the gospel to others, of sharing how God met us. That's one of the best ways to share, to evangelize. It's a scary word, evangelize. Share with others just what God did for you personally. That's a little less scary sounding, isn't it? I was broken here and here and here. God met me here. This is what he did in my life. This is where I was. This is where I am. Praise God. So it's just sharing your story of how God's story met with yours. It's a beautiful thing. Yes.
It's just magic. It's amazing how, like, you go through something.
Amen.
What some of us is going through.
It's the Holy Spirit.
That is so filthy. No,
amen.
That's
amen. I like that, Angel. That's filthy in a good way. I like that. Amen.
Every single Sunday.
Amen.
So that's amazing.
Praise God.
That's awesome.
Praise God for that. Thank you, Angel, for that testimony. Praise God for that. Guys, that's the blessing, isn't it? God meets us right where we need to be met. He speaks to us at our core, at our center. And he ministers to us day in and day out. We serve a good God. We love a good God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your love and grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you that even when we buy the lie of the enemy and we get caught up in the junk, Lord, you provide a way through it, a way out. And Lord, we can even grow into a place where when the temptation comes and the challenge is there from the of evil, Lord, we can seek your strength and your truth and your love and be without sin in the midst of the trial and temptation. Lord, thank you that you give us a way through it, and when we struggle and fail, you give us a way out. You are so merciful, so gracious to us, so long-suffering with us, Lord. Thank you that you love us so much with a Father's perfect Father's love. We are your children, and we are thankful that you are a good and loving God. Show us how to be weary of evil, how to be wise, but Lord, how to allow you to deal with the evil one. And for us to love those who are doing evil while hating the evil in them. That we would love the sinner and hate the sin. Lord, give us your eyes to see that, because we don't see that in the flesh. We just want justice and retribution. We just want to make things right ourselves. Protect us from that lie of the enemy. Lord, may we love well for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let's go ahead and